Lord, as we come to you in prayer, we're just so grateful that you're there for us, that you're willing to hear from us, and that you care enough to allow us into your presence. We just ask, Lord Jesus, as we go to your word today, that we will know you and know that we're known by you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen. If you're going to follow along in your Bibles today, we're on page 1785 in the Pew Bibles, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, Ephesians 3:12 today. Hopefully, by the end of the morning, you'll all have this memorized, because it's memorable. It's big up there on the wall, right? Is that going to help? Anybody there that needs it larger, I can enlarge some sections of it for you. As we talk about going to God in prayer, as we talk about being in His presence, about having God being approachable, this verse is really kind of important. And if you remember to put this back in context, Paul was getting ready to pray, and then he started a little rabbit trail. And we're still in that rabbit trail, in that parenthesis between the beginning of him starting to pray and then him getting back to it pretty soon here. In this section, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's kind of a nice positive statement, right? How many of you realize that you can approach God? God is approachable. He's not trying to hide from us. Sometimes we try to hide from Him, not very successfully, but He's approachable. He's accessible. He wants to have us in His presence. But there's kind of a funny thing. Sin can't be in His presence. And we're all sinners, right? So how do we get to be in the presence of God? We get to be in Him. Now this is a theme that continues through all of Scripture, being in Christ. Paul is really drilling down on this. If I go back to the beginning of this letter that he's written, who's he writing it to? He's writing it to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's from verse 1 of chapter 1. So just going back a page if you're following along. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus. That's kind of added. It may just be to God's holy people, and it's a circular letter, and the one that they have here was taken from the one that was sent to Ephesus. The faithful in Christ Jesus. And he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Get to verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think Jesus is a theme in this letter here? Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There it keeps on showing back up. In Christ. For he chose us in him. It's there again. Before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He knows we're not going to be holy and blameless. But in His sight, we can be holy and blameless. We're putting on the robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ. If we're in Christ, God looks at us and says, that's my son. That's my boy. Holy and blameless. Because it's in His sight, we're in Christ. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Another way of saying in Christ, in Him. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. And it just keeps going on and on. As you go through the book, as you go through this letter, continuously, we've got to recognize that being in Christ is a beautiful thing. Being in Christ gives us the opportunity to approach God. If you're in Christ. Now, if you're not sure, I mean, it just says Him here, right? But going back and looking at your Bibles that you've all faithfully opened up here, in verse 11, what are the last four words before we get to verse 12? Christ Jesus our Lord. It's according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him. It's pretty obvious who the Him is pointing to there then, isn't it? A lot of times we don't know who the antecedent is with these pronouns. This one's an obvious antecedent. It's there. It's in Christ, in Him. and through faith in Him. Again, the theme in Ephesians is, if you have faith in Him, then you're in Him. How many of us have faith in ourselves? I know I can do it. And isn't that what we're taught in school? It's like, you can do anything you choose to do. You can be anybody you want to be. You can, and it gets drilled into us to the point where we think, okay, well, everything that happens in my life, then I'm responsible for it. And then bad things happen, and then we can beat ourselves up. Or good things happen, and we can take credit for it when it really wasn't us that did it. Recognizing that sometimes the world's wisdom is not true wisdom. Yeah, you can do a lot, but you can do a whole lot more. You can do all things if you're in Christ, because He'll strengthen you. In our own strength, we can do a lot too. We can mess things up. We can offend people. We can cause problems. We can create chaos. And we might be able to accomplish some things for a short term. But if you want lasting goodness, if you want eternal consequences that are positive, we need to be in Christ. We can't produce that in our own strength. So through faith in Him, and going back in chapter 2, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Of course, that's the only part I learned when I was a kid, so I thought, well, I don't have to do anything because it's not by works. But the next verse says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So yeah, there is this whole thing about works. But works isn't what gets us our salvation. Works is the consequence of being in Him, of being in Christ. If you're empowered by God Himself, you can do good works. And those good works will produce fruit that will last. A lot of people are doing good works on their own. And then when people get upset, they get mad back at them. And then have you ever watched social media things? I try not to. Kathy's got Facebook. Or there's other, sometimes after a news article, you can read comments afterwards. People like to comment about everything. And it doesn't take very long before people are having disagreements or getting offended. We don't have to do that. If we recognize, first of all, I can't fix anything on my own. So if I get offended, what's the point? I can try to correct their behavior. How many of you, when somebody has attacked you verbally or in writing, you've thought, well, that's great, I better fix that problem. Thank you so much for attacking me. That's not usually our first reaction. It should be, maybe. Maybe we should look at it. If somebody wants to give me criticism, I probably should do a quick internal assessment. But I need to do that assessment with God in mind too. It's like, okay, the Bible says that we should have a correct understanding of who we are. Somebody points out that there's sin in my life. It's like, I need to look. Is there? Lord, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Thank you that you are the Savior, that you covered that sin. Now I can move on because that sin's been dealt with. But if I want to take offense or try to justify myself and say, no, I've never done anything wrong. Have you ever heard anyone say that? It's not my fault. It's real easy to point fingers and say, well, I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't. But it's like, okay, but if I'm in Christ, He did everything right and I didn't. And so when somebody points out that I've got a problem, now maybe they're pointing out falsely that I have a problem. It's a false accusation. I could take offense and get upset. What would that accomplish? Nothing. We can get angry with one another and nothing's accomplished, but we can recognize, oh, I'm in Christ. I have access to God. I can talk to God about this. They just told a lie about me. I need to turn to the truth. Jesus, you're the way, the truth, and the life. Whatever they say, it's not that important. My concern isn't what they think about me, and Paul even talks about, he's not even concerned about what he thinks about himself, because you can't justify yourself. we can convince ourselves that we haven't done anything wrong and we're in the right and they're in the wrong, and so, you know, that's their problem, it's not mine. It's like, it's still our problem, it's still a sin problem, it's still a human problem. The human condition is that when we're not in Christ, we have conflict. When we're in Christ, we have peace. Through faith in Him. So, having faith. Now, I've told this story before. We were at an auction. My mom was able to come with me. Kathy and I used to own a new and used merchandise store down in California. So, mom's visiting. She came to the auction with us. She sat down on a chair, and that chair collapsed under her. She had faith that that chair would hold her up, or she wouldn't have sat on it. Boom. I was at Conrad sitting with him one time. We're watching TV. And I'm sitting on one of those nice, you know, chairs that we've got a bunch back here behind the church, nice plastic lawn chairs. I'm sitting there. And then there was this loud bang, and I'm on the floor. Those legs just shattered. Boom! Has that ever happened to anybody else here? James? Yeah, it's like, that's not fun. But it's like I had faith that this chair was going to hold me. And now I'm sitting on the floor and Conrad's laughing his head off, having a great time. And then I'm thankful I wasn't hurt, so I was able to laugh a little bit about it too. I liked those big chairs, the big easy that holds 375 pounds. That's right for me. Okay, because the other ones, and I wasn't even tipping it. Now, sometimes if you're tipping a chair, that's your own fault, right? But no, this wasn't, I didn't do anything wrong. Except for having faith in something that couldn't sustain me. That's not a very good thing to do. Having faith in Christ, He's never dropped me on the floor. Faith in Him. If we have faith in the wrong thing, it doesn't help. It's the wrong kind of faith. But if we have faith in Him, through faith in Him, we... What's that? Who's the we here? Paul is writing to those people that are in Christ. And he's already claimed that he's in Christ. So the we is anybody that's in Christ. In Him and through faith in Him, we, all of us that are in Christ, what can we do? We may approach God. Got a bunch of keys here. What are they good for? This one, I can push buttons and unlock Kathy's car. She doesn't always have her keys. She can't approach her car and access her car without a key if it's locked. This key will get me in there. This one will get me into the other car that's already unlocked because I never lock it. Lily Arts. Here's one that gets me into Conrad's cabin. Here's one that... Yeah, and by the way, I went in there the other night and he was already in bed. And he has a really nice gun. And I saw him reaching for it. And I shouted loudly, explaining, "Conrad, it's me, it's Tony, and I'm about ready to throw myself onto the floor if I needed to." You know, having access, we may approach God. Now, if we're going to approach God, we don't want Him to be angry and upset with us. But this is the God that says in Scripture, the wages of sin is death. Do we really want to approach God? How do we want to approach God? Do we want Him to be surprised by us just showing up in His presence? He won't be surprised. He knows everything. But if we're in Christ, we have access. Just having the key gave me access to the cabin, but access to the presence of Conrad, he had to recognize me. He had to know who I was and determine that I'm a safe person to be there. You know, and It's just one of those things. Here's a key that, I don't know what this one opens. I probably should get rid of it. This one opens the church building. Here's one for the shed. Here's one for the back door. Here's one for the inside and the lockbox and the front door. I've got keys. Most of you have some sort of keys. It gives you access to something, right? It gives you the ability to approach or go into a space that is theoretically not for everyone. Thieves like to break in and steal and whatever, but that's, you're not going to do that with God. There's one way to get into the presence of God. It's being in Christ. through faith in Him. When I read this verse, something comes to my mind. How many of you are old enough to remember President Kennedy? And that iconic picture with, he's in the Oval Office and playing under his desk there, little boy. He had access to the Oval Office, not because he had a special pass or a card that would get him past all the locked doors. It's because that was his dad. And really, when we can approach God, when we're in Christ, that's our Father. It's like, yeah, come on into my presence. Come to me, all of you that are weary and weak and heavy laden. If you got problems, come to me, come to me. If you're in Christ, you can approach God just like that little boy could play in the Oval Office. He had access. We want to have access to God. Recognize that you're a child of God. You're chosen. You're accepted in the Beloved. Just go into His office and hang out with Him. Not because you necessarily have business or requests or anything else, just because you want to be with Him. Approach Him. And this last little phrase here, with freedom and confidence. That freedom is translated in some other translations as boldness. The Greek seems to be saying that's like free speech. You have freedom of speech with God. You ever get angry at God? Do you know what? You can approach God in Christ and tell Him, I'm angry with you. David did that all the time. You read through the Psalms. He shows up and tells God all of his concerns. God, I'm scared. God, I'm angry. God, I'm upset with my neighbor. God, I'm worthless. He has all of these attitudes and moods and concerns in life. He's depressed. What does he do with it? He goes to God. Lord, I'm depressed. I don't feel like I'm worth anything. And I've got some neighbors that are willing to agree with me on that. And then what do you do? Well, if you read through the Psalms again, most of the time you get to the end of the Psalm, this little song that he's writing, it's like, Lord, everything's terrible. But by the end, it's like, but praise you, God, because you're in control and it's all going to work out. When you're in the presence of God, you have freedom of speech. You can go confidently to Him and say, Lord, I have some concerns. I've got some needs. I've got some wishes and some worries and some dreams and some desires and whatever it is. Just go talk to Him and tell Him. Lord, I'm having relationship problems. And I recognize that probably most of the time it's my own fault. Can you fix me? Can you tame my mind and my mouth and my heart? And give me the ability to humbly approach others with relationships so that I don't lose it? Because I don't want to lose it. How many of you have ever had a problem with somebody? And then you think at the end of that, it's like, well, if they would just... And there's a couple people in town here that seem to rub people the wrong way. I'm probably one of them, but, you know, it's like you spend time with them and you're wondering, what is wrong with that person? And then they just... They totally go off the rails. They get angry for what seems to be nothing. And the more they try to control that anger, the worse it gets. And if somebody just kind of quietly says, well, you just need to calm down. How does that work? How do we help somebody when they're losing it? And sometimes that somebody's me. So how are you going to help me if I'm losing it, if I'm getting ready to just blow my top? And you know, usually it's not with you know, your words of wisdom, you need to shut up right now. That doesn't work. You know, how do we do that? How do we help people? If we're in Christ, we have peace. And I think sometimes when somebody's getting angry and they see other people reacting, they feel like, I've just lost control. So I'm going to get control back. And so they let that anger boil up even more. And it gets worse. Most abusers, if you ask them when they get up in the morning, who are you planning on abusing today? Who do you want to hurt? They're not going to have that on their thoughts or minds. Maybe they will. Maybe they're gone that far that even when they wake up in the morning, it's already there. But most of the time, they're just thinking they're going to get up and go through the day, and they're hoping to survive. And then stuff happens, and they lose it. I know when I've had fits of rage and fits of anger, it's not because I planned them. You don't have to plan those things ahead of time. They come to you. And if I recognize that I've got freedom of speech with God, I don't have to blow up at this person that's really getting to me. I can try to pull away and just talk to God about it. And I can be confident that He's going to understand. Because most of the time when we start blowing up, whether it's in a marriage relationship or a work relationship or just on the streets with strangers, if people start blowing up, there's not usually a lot of understanding. Do you really have freedom of speech in the world now? How many things could we say without intending to offend somebody and end up offending somebody? It's real easy to cause offense now. It's quite simple to bring up a word or a phrase or a person or an idea that others find offensive. And that's not freedom of speech, is it? You can't just speak your mind and have everybody around you be understanding and loving. But with God, when we approach God, if we're in Christ and we approach God, guess what? You can say all of those things that would get you fired. You can say all of those things that would create problems. How far did it roll?
Right here.
Okay. You can just relax with God. Do you have those relationships where you're feeling like you're kind of walking on tiptoes all the time or on eggshells? And you're afraid that the least little thing is going to set this person off, and so we're being so extra careful, and sometimes that'll get people upset because they can see that you're tense and you're trying so hard to not offend me that's offensive? I mean, I can get offended by just about anything. Kathy was playing something on her computer yesterday or the day before. It was some guy complaining about people being offended about everything, and I was offended by him being offended. Seriously, it's like, what is his problem? Does he even hear what he's talking about? And now I'm doing the same thing. It's like, who can we talk to that's really safe? You've got safe friends, I hope. Relationships, marriage relationships, I hope that there's safety there. I'm thankful that Kathy's very forgiving. There's so many times in our relationship that she could have said, I'm done with you. If that's what you really think, you're out of here. But it's a safe relationship where even when we have our problems, we can work it out. Do you know that you can approach God with anything? And He's not going to be offended. If we're in Christ and we approach God, He's like, yeah, I get that. Let me give you some Holy Spirit fruit. Let me give you some peace. Let me give you some fullness of me. This is in the middle of a parenthesis, and I've talked about this a number of times, where Paul starts in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," and he never finishes that sentence. Never finishes the sentence. He remembers, there's some stuff I need to share first before I finish this prayer. And then when he gets to verse 14, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God." But before he wanted to tell him all that stuff, he's like, "Oh, there's some things I forgot." You need to be recognizing that you're in Christ. There's this mystery. I get to share this mystery with all the Gentiles. I deserved death, and God gave me life, and he gave me a mission. And he said, "Go and preach to the Gentiles." So that's what I'm doing. And it's kind of exciting that God thinks of me, the least of all of the servants, enough to say, "I've got a job for you." Thinking about some of the people you might have issues with or problems with, have you ever thought that maybe you can give them some work to do? When I was a school teacher, that was one of the things I recognized real quick, that some kid's acting out. He's got, you know, squirreliness. You can, you know, describe it a lot of different ways. Probably needs something to do. If I'm not keeping him engaged, that's my fault as a teacher. I'm not doing my job if I'm not keeping him interested in doing something and learning. What's this child interested in? He probably wants some attention. That's not a bad thing. Don't we all want a little bit of attention? How could you give him some appropriate attention so he doesn't get attention for being bad, but he gets attention for positive things? Give him a job to do. He probably is willing to take on some responsibility. Maybe he's the one that actually would like to be your helper. Or she. I don't want to be sexist with that. A lot of times it was the girls that were acting out. You know, if we know what our purpose is and we recognize it and we're doing it, we're going to be more fulfilled. Fiona has no problem with self-awareness. She knows what her purpose is. It's my job is to be cute. She's doing pretty good at that. She's just hanging out. Fiona's being who Fiona was designed to be. Now, Grandma's holding her, and she's just beaming because this is my grandchild. This is my baby. You know, we've all been given a purpose and the ability to interact with one another. And if we're in Christ and we're coming along and something looks like it's not working out right, it's like, okay, I need some wisdom. Well, guess what? Jesus' little brother James said, "If you want wisdom, just ask me, I'll give it to you." Okay. That's pretty good. So if we're in Christ, we can ask for wisdom and he gives it to us. Okay, well, I'm having a difficulty with this person. I don't know how to interact with them without creating more and more problems. Lord, I need your wisdom. And then he gives us wisdom, and then we get to interact properly. We have freedom, and we can have confidence that he's going to solve all of our issues and all of our needs. I'm almost finished with the parentheses here. The other thing in verse 13 that Paul asks them to do, he says, "I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." So here's the other thing. When we approach God, does that mean he's going to give us everything we ask for in the way we want it? In a way, yeah, but it's like we need to make sure that we're recognizing we're asking in his will. Paul had asked, he had a few problems in life, and one of them was, he doesn't describe exactly what it was, but he talks about this thorn in the flesh. this thing that just kept on coming back and bothering him again and again and again, and he couldn't get rid of it, and he kept praying that God would take it away, and God didn't. But then he recognized, well, that's probably for my good too, because God cares enough about me. He doesn't want me to think that I'm perfect or something. And so with this thorn in the flesh, I recognize that this little bit of suffering I'm going through is nothing compared to the blessings I'm going to have. And so I can get through this. And in fact, Jesus, when he was here on earth, he didn't say, you will never have any problems. In fact, his promise was, in this world, you will have problems. But then take heart, because I've overcome the world. So it's like he, you know, promises he's going to, if you're in the fire, you won't get burned. If you're in the water, you won't drown. He's going to take you through your problems. He doesn't promise you won't have problems. So you have back pain. I'd love to ask for the back pain to be gone. Our friend George had a stroke, and he can't use his left side very well right now. I'd love to be able to just say, Lord, heal his left side. And I don't understand all the things that go on. And it's like, you know, we were hiking the other day, and somebody noticed that I had a firefighter hat on. And they said, well, at least if somebody gets hurt, there's a first responder here. And I said, yeah, I can pray for them. And they laughed. But it's like, you know, yeah, that's nothing wrong with that. You know what? We can pray for one another. I would love it if you could go out on all the calls and just say a prayer, and then that's solved and everything's fine, and then you don't have to take them to the doctor and the hospital and get them all patched up and do whatever. And it's like, wouldn't it be fun to walk into a hospital and just go from room to room and release everyone and say, yeah, doctors are practicing, but I know the true physician that can heal all things. I have confidence that I can go to God, and I have confidence that he can do all that, and I have freedom of speech to tell God, I'm frustrated, Lord. Why is it that I can't just ask for that and you'll do it? Prayed with Andy this week. And Andy would love to be able to stand and walk and do all the things he used to be able to do, and he'd probably really love it if he didn't have childhood diabetes. But he still has all that stuff. And at this point, I know that prayer still helps. I don't have any problem with praying. And I'm glad that God can give us peace that surpasses all understanding. But I'm still telling God, you know, I'm frustrated, Lord. I want to see your power. I'd love to see. I read about your miracles in Scripture, Lord Jesus. I want to see that today. I want to see that now. And when we set our agenda and we go to him and we can tell him all of these frustrations. Got a friend named Jim that's been in a wheelchair most of his life. And he went to a Pentecostal church where they would tell him that you don't have enough faith, Jim. You should get up out of that chair and walk. And he'd just smile and say, I'm going to dance with Jesus someday. I don't know when and I don't know why it's not today, but someday his body's going to be free like his mind is and his heart is. But I know that must have been frustrating and discouraging to him to hear that kind of stuff. And I'm sure that Jim had prayed for healing. And I know a lot of other people prayed for healing for Jim. And I know that God is capable of raising the dead and taking the lame and helping them to walk and giving sight to the blind. And I can go into his presence and I can talk about all these things and all these frustrations because I have freedom. I have free speech, and he's not offended by me having doubts. He's not offended by me having concerns and worries. So why don't we spend more time in prayer, just hanging out with God? Little boy under the desk. Hey, Dad, I'm here. What are we doing today, Dad? And I've talked to God about this, and I can talk to you about it now, too. One of the frustrations for me as a pastor is if I call a prayer meeting, nobody shows up, nobody comes. When we first got here, there was like a Wednesday night. Somebody asked, well, are we going to do something on Wednesday nights? Yeah. Okay, what do you guys normally do on Wednesday nights? Well, sometimes we have a Bible study. Okay, I can do that. I grew up where Wednesday night was prayer meeting night. But, you know, we can do Bible study. I like Bible study. When I'm in Scripture, I'm communicating with God. That's his form of prayer. That's all good. But then when we started trying to talk about, you know, let's meet together and pray, it wasn't an interest. Is that an interest with anyone here? I'm asking. It's a real question. I've talked to God about it already. And I'm not going to be offended if you say no. But we have access to approaching God. We can be in God's presence and ask him anything and say anything to him. I can and you can. If we do it together, it says in Scripture, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So maybe when we're hanging out together, prayer should be part of what we're doing. I don't want to be religious about it. I don't want to force it and make it look... I don't want it to be a thing. All right? And if your prayer communication with God is private with you and God, that's fine. But I'm just telling you honestly, I'd love to have people to pray with. There's some power in praying together. And it doesn't have to be in a meeting. It can just be on the street corner or at a desk or wherever. Because I know that I'm in Christ. And in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Maybe with a little bit of expectation that things will happen. Kathy and I have been in Skykomish for almost 8 years now. And I'm seeing a lot of changes in Skykomish. Much of it for the better. We're going to go down to Oregon for 5 days, 4.5 days, whatever. And I hang out with a bunch of other village missionary pastors and their wives and families. And we'll have a conference and we'll sing and we'll talk and have communication with one another and with God. Then we come back here to our home. And it's my prayer that I can see God doing work in this community, in this town. That I can see him filling people to the fullness with Holy Spirit and changing each of us. Starting with me. And then if we're in God's presence and we have freedom of speech and we can say anything to him, and if we're with each other, does that mean that we're going to get offended if somebody's praying something that you didn't like the way they prayed? I've actually been in prayer meetings where other people have tried to correct the person that was praying. Well, you weren't praying right now, according to this verse. And it's like, you know what? They're with God. There's not supposed to be any judgment. In fact, Jesus' little brother James, he says, if you need wisdom, ask God and he'll give you wisdom without finding fault. Now, if the God of the universe that knows all things and knows how messed up we are and how wrong we are with all of our doctrines can just listen without finding fault, can we listen to one another without finding fault? I hope that there can be love. So that's my plea to all of you and also to God in your presence, that we can learn to just say whatever we need to say with one another and not be offended. And that we can continually be approaching God with freedom of speech and with confidence that he's going to know the right thing and do the right thing. And if my words need corrected, let God be the one doing the correcting. And sometimes he might do it through one of you. I'm not going to say that you can't tell me. If you think I'm wrong about something, mention it. I'm going to do my very best to not be offended. some of that might depend on your approach, because if you don't say it right, I can get offended, okay? No, I mean, it's, we go there too quick, don't we? I don't want any of you to feel like you have to walk on eggshells with me. I know you don't have to with God. And if I'm in Christ, you shouldn't have to with me. We shouldn't have to with one another. There should be an understanding that, yep, there goes his mouth again. He made a mistake. Oh, well, that's just him. Got a pastor friend. He's specking Yakima now, isn't he? You knew exactly who I was talking about. Pastor Joe. He'd go to Japan and pretend he's speaking Japanese, and he didn't know any Japanese at all, but he just... People are looking at him thinking he's just making a fool of himself. And the people that knew him just said, yeah, that's just Joe. And they knew his heart, because he would never want to offend or hurt anybody. Hang out with his pastor friend from Juarez. What were some of the crazy things he would say? Yeah, he'd start pretending he's speaking Spanish, but pretty much all it was a whole bunch of stuff about tacos and chips and burritos and whatever else. And Danielle loved him. And they loved each other because they knew that the hearts were right. And they were in Christ and with God. We shouldn't get offended by little things like that. We should just kind of go with it. On the other hand, it does say in Scripture that if at all possible, live peaceably with all. So maybe if we're the one that's constantly offending everybody, we need to learn to curb our tongues and figure that part out too. But you know what? It's family. You just kind of forgive and keep moving on, hopefully. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we can approach your throne, God. Thank you for the ability to have freedom of speech and confidence that you'll be there for us, that you'll listen. I thank you, Jesus, so much that we can pray in your holy name.